It's the subject of our text this morning, and so if you would take your Bibles and be finding 1 Timothy chapter 3, and when you found it, if you would please rise, let us discover what our text shares with us about a deacon this morning. The word of our Lord says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of the deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, as we have come this morning to this very special time, this very special day in the life of Robert and his family, as we examine what the Holy Scriptures command and teach regarding what is a deacon, Father, it not only applies to what a deacon is, but it also applies to all Christian men. It applies to all Christian women. For Lord, you have given us a holy calling. Your word commands us to be ye holy, for I am holy. Lord, I pray that as you enter into our service today, that Father, that you would speak to each heart, to each person who is represented here. Lord, that each of us would come to understand that you have called us out of this world with a marvelous calling in Christ Jesus. Father, you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son for us. He became the propitiation for our sins. He is our Redeemer. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives. And Father, as we hear your word this morning, may your Spirit examine each one of our hearts, and may we not be found wanting in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, a rather pompous deacon was looking to impress a class of boys about the importance of being a Christian. And he looked at them and he said, why do people call me a Christian and a deacon? Silence ensued for a moment. And then one of the youngsters said, maybe it's because they don't know you. Brothers and sisters, a deacon ought to be known, and not just any person will do. The office of a deacon is a spiritual concern, and for a church to be a biblical church, it must take this spiritual concern to heart. For far more important than what a deacon is what a deacon is to be. And God's word sets the standard for leadership within the church. And the Holy Spirit spoke to the Apostle John and he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so this then is the standard for all leaders within the church of Jesus Christ. Church leaders are to be found walking in the truth because a church is a spiritual concern of the highest order, for the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. Therefore, his chosen leaders are to be found walking as Jesus walked, and Jesus walked in the truth. And so when the question is asked, what is a deacon? What is he to be? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul gives us the biblical qualifications of a deacon. And our text, as we read it, confronts us with the description of a godly man who is to serve. Well, we're given instruction here in 1 Timothy of what a deacon is to be. First and foremost, he is to be a man who is filled with the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit of God. He must be recognized by the church body as a man having the gifts of servanthood, so he can minister to the needs of the people who are going to be put under his watch care. A deacon is to be a spiritual person, for the word of God declares that faith without works is dead. A deacon is to be a man of faith, a man in whom the fruit of the Spirit is readily recognized. And to remind us, Paul wrote in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. A deacon is to be a man who is grounded in the faith. A deacon is to be a man who is not frivolous or foolish, but then shouldn't all Christians be that way? A deacon is to be a man who is not double-tongued, talking about out both sides of his mouth, but again, I would ask, shouldn't all Christians be that way? A deacon is to be a man of dependability, and again, I will ask, shouldn't all Christians be that way? A deacon is to be one who can be trusted and one who is true and faithful. And again, I will ask, shouldn't all Christian men and women be that way? A deacon is not to be a man who is a drunkard. And again, shouldn't all Christians be that way? In fact, he ought to abstain from alcohol so as not to put a stumbling block before weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, I would ask, shouldn't all Christians be that way? Shouldn't we be so concerned with how we walk that we would be mindful of all that takes place so that we would not, excuse me one minute, so that we would not,
wow, you can hear me now. Would you please rise as we honor the Lord? So we wouldn't be a stumbling block to weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. The way this world is today, shouldn't we be holy as the Lord our God is holy? How many of you would agree with me? There's enough darkness in this world today that the light needs to begin to shine. And shouldn't God's people be the light of the world that He has called us to be? A deacon needs to be certain he's abstaining from all appearance of evil. And again, I will ask the question, shouldn't all Christians be that way? A deacon is to be blameless. That means he's to have a good reputation with those inside the church and those outside of the church. And shouldn't all Christians seek to be blameless? Shouldn't all Christians have a good reputation in the church and outside of the church? Ours is a holy calling. A deacon is to be a holy man of God, and all Christians are to be a holy man of God. All Christians are to be holy women of God, for God has said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We're to be a faithful giver, a good steward of all the gifts and graces that God has given us. We are to honor God and to lead others in the body of Christ to honor God. A deacon is to be a man who holds to the Holy Scriptures. And what a wonderful and powerful testimony as Robert stood right here behind God's sacred desk and just a moment ago testified that he seeks God in all his decisions. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We all ought to be that way. He's to be an example to his family, an example to his wife, an example to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, I'd ask the question, shouldn't all Christians be that way? Shouldn't we all desire to be an example? One that someone could look to and rather than seeing us, they see Christ in us. Oh, hallelujah, we need to see Christ within us. Oh, God forbid that people should see us, but may they see the light of Jesus Christ shining through us. A deacon is to be an example to others, one that's readily recognized in the body of Christ, a man who is filled with God's wisdom. And that wisdom comes from above, the kind of wisdom that James spoke about, the wisdom that is pure, that is peaceable, that is gentle, easily entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But again, I would ask, shouldn't all Christians have that as their goal? But we're talking about a man this morning whom God has called out, a man whom the body of Christ has recognized, whose behavior conforms to his belief so that his conscience is clear. And this is what a deacon is to be. The standards, if you will, are high because the cost was great. And so the standards are high. Jesus Christ died. Do you grasp that fact? There is nothing lovely in any one of us. There is not a one of us who deserves heaven. But God in his infinite mercy, and a mercy that a love that I do not understand, but God looked down from heaven on high and he saw his creation. And he did not leave us where he found us. He gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven who loves us. There's a God in heaven who gave himself for us. There is a God in heaven who, when we were down in the wretched pit, sent his Son, who reached down from heaven on high, and through his nail-scarred hands, he lifted us out of the depths. He set our feet upon the solid ground, and hallelujah, he put a new song in our mouth. Oh, praise his holy name. Friends, we ought not to compromise this gift. This is the most holy of gifts that we have been given. Eternal life purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're to understand the gravity of it, that one had to die to save our souls, that we might have life eternal. Oh, praise his name. Our spiritual life ought to model Christ. Our spiritual life ought to be one of continual giving. Our hearts ought to be so set to walk as Christ walked, to live as Christ lived, to be an example of what Christ was to our wives, to our children, and to one another in the body of Christ. Is not this what Jesus died for? We're also to understand there isn't a single man up here or there that has all of the biblical qualifications brought to perfection. But these qualities that the Holy Scriptures teach ought to be found in all of us men who are set aside for the office of pastor and deacon. The Word of God says and teaches this is what a man ought to be. But I say to you, isn't that what all Christian men ought to be? A living example of the holy light of Almighty God. Clement of Alexandria, perhaps speaking about a deacon, wrote this, and I quote, He impoverishes himself out of love so that he is certain he may never overlook a brother in need, especially if he knows he can bear poverty better than his brother. He likewise considers the pain of another as his own pain. And if he suffers any hardship because of having given out of his poverty, he does not complain. This is the office of a deacon. This is what a deacon ought to be. Oh, we all know that church life isn't easy. Oh, that it were. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything always ran smoothly? But you know as well as I do that in the body of Christ, everything does not always go as we would like. And I want you to think for just a moment about in days gone by when they did build appliances to last. But I want you to think about when your appliance broke down in days gone by, how the repairman's job was to come out and he would carefully probe and he would look and he would trace the problem. He would examine the wiring. He would examine the switches. He would examine the motor. And eventually he would discover the problem. Well, it kind of reminds me about three men who were in an argument over which profession was the oldest. A surgeon who was well known for his great skill and not so great humility swelled up his chest and said, "My Bible says God made Eve by cutting a rib out of Adam. Gentlemen, that makes my profession the oldest." "No way," responded the mechanical engineer. "Before that happened, God made the earth in 6 days in spite of all the chaos, and it took an engineer to pull off something that overwhelming." And as was expected, the politician had the last word, and he said, "Yes, but who created all the chaos in the first place?" Like any appliance, sometimes a church can stop working. That's why God gives key people to strengthen the church. Now remember that every person in the body of Christ is absolutely essential. Every leader is to seek to be a key leader, one that will allow God to use them to strengthen his church. But this morning, we're talking about a specific kind of leader, a deacon. And Scripture has declared what a deacon is to be. Does the Holy Word provide an example that Green Valley's deacons could pattern their lives after? And yes, hallelujah, thank God, in the Gospel of 1 John, we find and discover a beloved brother and a wonderful deacon by the name of Gaius, a man who helped strengthen the church much. What expectations, have you ever stopped to consider this? What expectations do you have of those who lead you, whether it be in the workplace, the school, the church, or government? You see, in previous generations, a leader was expected to be brave, to be a servant, to be honest, to be diligent, to be capable and to be sacrificing. But through the years, something has gone terribly wrong. And people have come to expect much less of their leaders, even from the highest offices in the country. Sadly, holding a high office anywhere no longer guarantees honesty, trustworthiness, or capability. But remember, Jesus died for his church. And this is a spiritual concern, and we need to think about this. When it comes to spiritual leaders in the church, should your expectations be higher or lower for them than other leaders? Do you expect your leaders to be loving, spiritual, and truthful? In an age where leadership often fails at every turn and is non-existent in other places, pastoral and deacon leaders must model their lives after Gaius. Friend, listen to me. If you have no expectations for your spiritual leaders, don't expect very much from them. And I say that because leadership within the church, especially in this day and age, is absolutely critical. Church leaders are chosen to lead people to Jesus Christ, and therefore how leaders live and how leaders behave is of critical importance because their lives affect the whole church, and their behavior oftentimes determines the spiritual growth of believers and whether or not the church has a dynamic ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. As a church body, we must ask the question, is it right in the Lord and right according to God's word to have expectations of pastors and deacons? And the answer to that is absolutely. Because there's God's word teaches there is something we are to be and something we are to strengthen, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. And then we come finally to what a deacon is to do. John, writing in 3 John to this beloved church leader, he wrote these words, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully." Three times. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. All three in one. Three times John calls Gaius beloved. Gaius was dear to the heart of John. But that friend, the main reason for their bond was Jesus Christ. Gaius had trusted Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Robert has trusted Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Every one of these deacons and the associate pastor, myself, have trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And he was faithful to the call that God had given him. And may this church pray that this pastor, the associate pastor, and each one of these deacons is faithful to the call that God has given us. We told Gaius that he was a faithful leader. That's how the Bible describes him. He was a faithful leader in the church, and he did his job well. He lived for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his main concern, and he lived for Christ, and he performed his functions in the church not for the glory of himself, but for the glory of Almighty God. John loved Gaius because he was a dear friend, but more importantly, because he was a servant of Jesus Christ. And this despite the fact that the Bible says that Gaius was prone to sickness. His health crossed John's mind when he wrote the book. And John wanted him to know that he was thinking of him and wanting his health to prosper. But I want you to note two things about what John said about Gaius, because his soul prospered. And John tells us plainly that he was growing spiritually stronger and stronger in Jesus Christ and in the fruit of the Spirit. And he experienced the fullness of God day by day. He was experiencing both eternal life and the abundant life that Jesus Christ had promised, because as John points out, he was a man who was walking in the truth. What's a deacon to do? He's to walk in the truth. John points out two significant facts. He had a strong testimony, this Gaius did. He had a strong testimony among the believers of the church. Some of the believers had visited John where he was, and they shared the testimony of Gaius with John. And what they shared was this: Gaius walked in the truth. Don't just listen to Robert's testimony this morning. Take it to heart and then go out and share what God has done. And then couple that with your own testimony. And may we all be able to say, we make decisions by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are followers of God. And the point is this, friend. Every pastor, every deacon ought to live as God's word says we're to live. But then, shouldn't that be true of every Christian man and of every Christian woman? Every child of God? Should we not be found walking in the truth? Should we not be found walking as God walked? Could others say of us, they walk in the truth? Could they say of Green Valley, they walk in the truth? That's why Gaius was a man, deacon who brought joy to the hearts of believers. And John was joyful over the life that Gaius was living because he walked in the truth. Let me ask you this morning. God is your witness. The Holy Spirit searching hearts and minds. Could the Holy Spirit of God say of you this morning that you are walking in the truth? What's going to have to change in your life that God could easily say of you, this brother, this sister, this child of mine brings me great joy because they're walking in the truth. They're doing what I do. They're living as I lived. What has to happen that God could say of every one of us, they're holy as I have asked them to be. They're walking as I desire them to walk. They're living as I want them to live. Friends, now more than ever, look around this world today. How many of you would agree with me that now more than ever in this evil world in which we live, the Church of Jesus Christ is in need of men and women who will lead others to follow Jesus Christ more closely? I want to tell you something. With the privilege of leadership comes the great responsibility to be found faithful as the leader of God's people. You see, the life of Gaius sets the standard for all church leaders. And your expectations for your pastors, for your deacons, should be framed around Gaius's character traits. He was well beloved because he was a man who walked in the truth. And I hope and I pray that Green Valley can say the same of their pastors and deacons, that they are men who walk in the truth, who stand for the truth, who speak the truth, who live the truth. For this is God's expectation, brothers, of us. And it ought to be our expectation for every one of us that this church would be found faithful. One day soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Do you realize this could be the last worship service you ever attend? The rapture's coming soon. This could be the last worship service we ever hold. When I think about that, one day soon, we're going to stand before Almighty God. How many of you want to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, friend, if you want to hear those words, I am a firm believer it's not going to come by the things that we do, but by the things that we be. May we be found faithful, holy men of God, living so as to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And may the light and the glory of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be found not only in this place, but emanating from this place, so that lives could be touched and souls could be won for the glory of the King who loves us so. Father, we thank you today for your word unto us. We thank you for the blessing of being able to welcome and ordain a deacon brother. We thank you for your word unto us here this morning. But Lord, we would be remiss if we did not give people an opportunity to respond this morning to your word. And so right where you are, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, what has God said to you this morning? Is there a sin you need to repent of? Is there some falseness in your life? Is there a spot of darkness that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is asking you to let go of, that your light for Him and the holiness of your life might shine all the brighter? And if that describes you this morning, would you just slip up your hand that we can be praying for you? Yes, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, I see it in the back. Thank you. Yes. Are there others this morning? Yeah. Oh, Lord, your word is spoken mightily this morning. Father, we are more than confident that you are able not only to forgive, but to draw us ever nearer. That our lives and our very souls would shine all the brighter because of your grace, and your mercy in forgiving us of our sins. Lord, we thank you for this day. In Christ's name we pray.